Or Mrs. McLean, would you like to tell us about your early childhood days before you came to Harford County?
Well, I'd be glad to talk about whatever you want me to talk about. I've got quite a lot of the childhoods rather a long way back.
Well, that's quite all right.
But I was born in Edgewater Park, New Jersey, quite a long time ago, 1905. And then I lived there for some time, and then I went to St. Mary's Hall in Burlington, which is the oldest Episcopal girls' school in America. I graduated from there, went there for 10 years. And my mother's English was English, and my father was American. He was one of the youngest generals in the Civil War on the Union side. And he was a brigadier general at 24, which was even younger than our Air Force generals in wartime now, I think. But mother was English, and so I've lived in England quite a lot. And then I have three sons, and good gracious me, I think it's 17 grandchildren. I know it's 8 great-grandchildren. I'm not quite sure. I think it's 17 grandchildren, maybe more. And I've lived quite a lot of places in Washington and New York and London and in Philadelphia. And I love Maryland. Came down here in 1940. My husband and I bought Monmouth Farm, which is a lovely place, or was. It's pretty cut up right now. But it was a lovely place that was first belonged to James McHenry, who was General George Washington's Secretary of War. And we lived there very happily for a great many years, and then my husband died, sadly, in 1956. And the house really was too big for I was there just with my son for a while, my youngest son. And then then he married a lovely girl, Dr. Hawkey's daughter from Churchville. And she was one of 10 children. She's perfectly lovely, and I've always thought one reason, perhaps, that she's so nice and kind and nice and good to everybody is because she was one of a large family, and they have to learn to take care of each other and think about other people. Because she's lovely, and I think all her family are awfully nice. Then, let's see what else. We came up here about 10 years ago, and I live with my son and Mary, his wife, and their two children, Alec and Rebecca, who are my grandchildren, and we have a very, I hope, happy, I have a wonderful time here with them. I enjoy being with them. I try to go away quite a lot because I think it's good for them and I think it's good for me. And then they're glad to see me when I come back, I hope. And I went to Maine this time, and that was a great success, and I brought back quite a lot of lobsters, and that was even more of a success. And let's see, is that the sort of thing you want?
Well, that's quite all right. Would you tell us about, I'm curious to know about your parents, especially the one that was in the Civil War. That'd be quite interesting for us at the library.
Well, he's my father. He was General E. Byrd Grubb, and he afterwards became American Minister to Spain in 1890, and he was 28 years younger than my mother, who was English. And it was rather fun because she was visiting in Madrid with her father, who had some business in Spain, mining business in Spain. And they were walking in the park one day, and she saw a very rather handsome man driving a carriage with two horses. And she said, "Who's that?" And he said, "Oh, that's the American minister, General Grubb, and we're going there for tea, so you'll meet him later." And she did, and 3 weeks later they were married in London. And that was a great success. And so then they came back. She lived in America with him, and he died when I was very young. I remember him, and he was dear, and I was very fond of him, but he died on my 7th birthday. And mother felt that I ought to be brought up as an American, as I was born in America, and I was very anxious to be brought up as an American. And so I was. I was an American. And then, but we always went abroad and stayed with, she had six sisters. There were seven girls, and then my uncle, who is Uncle Tommy Sopwith, Sir Thomas Sopwith, and he was the Sopwith camel. He designed the Sopwith camel and the Sopwith pup in World War I, and the Hurricanes in World War II, and the Lancaster bombers. He is still alive. Mm-hmm. He's 98, and he's marvelous. There's a picture of him up there I'll show you. And he's a very wonderful man. He's still got he's very mentally alert. He can't hear very well. It seems to be a family failing. My mother was very deaf, and I'm getting deafer all the time. And the sad part is that his eyesight has failed a great deal, so that is sad. Otherwise, he's tremendous at 98. And he's got a wonderful sense of humor still. And so there were a lot of English family over there, and my husband was devoted to England, and he had a lot of family over there too. So, but they've almost all died off now, I'm sorry to say. There are a few younger cousins, and I do go over every year to see them and to see my uncle, and I love going over, and I love England. If I hadn't been born an American, I would like to have been born English. But I'm delighted I'm an American.
Mm. Or in your, I guess before you came to Harford County, what was your homes like that you lived in? The different styles of architecture, and then the different atmospheres they had?
Well, I lived in Long Island. My husband and I had a very pretty house on Long Island, St. James, Long Island. And that was it was rather simple. Well, it's like this house is wooden. I mean, it was more or less this type. I think it was a little larger. And then it had very pretty grounds. And then where else did we live? We lived, we had an apartment in New York, and two boys went to school in New York. The two oldest boys went to school in New York. And then, I love New York. I'm crazy about New York still, but I haven't been back there for a long time. I think that perhaps I'd better just remember New York as I knew it and not go back there again. It might be disillusioning, might not. Anyway, it's probably too expensive.
Or when you're a child, can you tell us about what your social life was like or your free time?
Well, I came out as a debutante in Philadelphia in 1924, and those were the days when the debutantes were given a large ball with Maya Davis Orchestra usually, or Howard Lennon. And it was either at the Bellevue Stratford in Philadelphia or the Ritz, which was across the street. Mine was at the Ritz, my ball. And then my father and mother's friends gave lovely parties for me, and that was all wonderful. I enjoyed it very much. And then I was presented at court in England after I'd come out in America, and I went to court, and it was King George V and Queen Mary, and she was certainly quite a queen, and she was wonderful, and that was very exciting, because I went with a cousin of mine, an English cousin, who was being presented by her mother. I had to be presented by the American ambassador's wife, which was fine, and it was Mrs. Houghton at the time, from Kentucky, I think. and I had to go and learn how to make a curtsy. We both did. And my cousin wasn't very good about it. Now, I'd taken dancing lessons, I'd studied ballet, and I caught on a little bit sooner. And I was awfully worried about my cousin. She was a very good at riding, and she hunted, fox hunted and so forth very well. But I was afraid she wasn't going to make a good curtsy. So when I coached her a lot, and then when finally the evening came, and we went to Buckingham Palace, and it was all very, very beautiful and very exciting. And we went into the series of rooms, and then finally they called out and said, "Miss Violet Bird Grubb, Burlington, New Jersey, no, it wasn't Burlington, New Jersey, yes it was, USA, and they played the Blue Danube Waltz, and I walked in. And my cousin went before me for some reason or other, I don't know why, but she did, and her mother, and they went ahead, and she made the most lovely curtsy, and I was so pleased. I was really so delighted, I almost forgot to go in myself. But I went in, and I guess mine was all right, I didn't fall down or do anything. And then you have to back away. It was rather difficult, because you have a train, and you have to back with your train, and you wear a sort of thing on your head, and three feathers, the Prince of Wales feathers, and I had a feather fan, as I remember. And sometimes people had bouquets of flowers, or you could have a fan. You're told exactly what to wear and just how long the dress is to be, mm-hmm. and so on, and what it's to be made of, and it's to be white for debutantes and so forth. Anyway, that was all very attractive and very interesting. And then a great friend of mine was from Philadelphia was Betty Fulbright, who married Senator Fulbright, the Fulbright scholarship man, who's a wonderful man, mm-hmm. he's a dear man now, I mean he's 81 I think, and she died, I'm sorry to say, this spring. There's a picture of her over there, and she was my best friend, one of my best friends, and we went off together to, she came abroad with my mother and me, and we went into a French family to learn to speak French. And we didn't learn French very well. We taught them all American slang, I'm afraid. But we had an awfully good time. We had a great time. And we've been we're friends always. And I was very sad when she died. I have another great friend, Mrs. Grace Lambert, in Princeton, New Jersey. And my Uncle Tommy Sopwith, besides designing aeroplanes and all that, he came over here, he's a great sailor, and he came over here in 1934 with the Endeavour 1 to try to win the America's Cup, and also again in 1937. And my husband crewed for him in the New York Yacht Club races, 14 of them, and I sailed on board in the afterguard, which was great fun. In 14 races. That was lots of fun. Then the Lamberts had Yankee and a lovely, lovely ship schooner called Atlantic, who won the King of Spain's prize for the trip to crossing to Spain, race to Spain in 1928, I think it was. And they were all great friends, and we had a happy time together. I think I'm getting rather mixed up now. Should we go on to something else?
Oh, that's quite all right.
Now, let's see. I've always loved animals. I think you saw almost too many as you arrived, but they're always going to be, wherever I am, they're going to be animals, dogs. And my daughter-in-law likes cats, and she brought a cat into the family. I hadn't had a cat for many, many, 20 years when she came into the family. And she came into the family with her cat, and it was a question of love me, love my cat. And we loved her, so I learned to love her cat, and her cat is still with us, and I'm very, very fond of it. I do love it, and I love other cats, too. And but anyway, and then we have a donkey I'm very fond of, and the farmer next door, Mr. Miller, has taken it on because it escaped from here all the time. I don't know, it fell in love with a mare that lived next door, and it kept jumping fences to get to her. So finally, I don't think this is all very interesting, but anyway, finally Mr. Miller was very kind and took it over with his dairy herd, and so there he is, and he's been, he must be quite an old donkey now, but he's around, and he wakes us all up in the morning. Every morning he says, "Yeor," and wakes the children up, and I heard him when I got back from Maine. I only got back the night before last, I think, three nights ago. And so he's fine, thank goodness.
Hmm. Would you like to tell us about your husband's work with the House of Delegates?
Well, I used to go down and listen to him. He was elected. He ran on an independent ticket. He felt very strongly about not being he wanted to be his own man, and he didn't want anyone to tell him what to do and so on and so forth and how to vote and that sort of thing. And he was very independent, and people, I think he'd been in the National Guard. He was in the National Guard with, oh dear, Raymond Faulkner and a whole lot of he was the sheriff, a marvelous sheriff that we had years ago. Anyway, Mac, He was down there. I think he was very interested in it. He'd gone into the war. He volunteered at the age of, I guess, 36, and he didn't have to go or anything. He liked his life very much, and he loved farming, and we had a nice, good manager, Mr. Blackburn, at the time, and Mac went off, and then, he was at Fort Knox for 4.5 years, and I joined him out there, went out there with him. And then I had my youngest son out there. I was so pleased. We were so pleased, and Jimmy was born out there. And I think he ran 2 or 3 times. I remember he used to get awfully cross because they told him if he hadn't volunteered and gone off to the war, he would have gotten in easily, and that made him very cross, because he thought he should have gone off, and did, and thought other people should, and so he didn't think that was the right thing at all. But anyway, he did enjoy it, and felt that he was doing, you know, working for the good of the country. He wasn't political at all. He was for what was best.
What were some of the things that he stood behind when he was running and then became one of the delegates?
Oh, my goodness me. That was an awfully long time ago. I do not remember exactly. He was a Democrat, of course, and he was very fond of Senator Tidings. And in fact, he chauffeured him around one of the times when he was running. And he wouldn't tell Senator Tidings that he was going to run, though. He ran independently, you see. He didn't want he didn't want Senator Tidings to feel that he had to do anything about it or anything. And he was quite independent, but he was very fond of him. He thought he was very fine. I thought he was, too. And he felt that the Democrats had a better idea for all the people than the Republicans had. I may say my father was both a Democrat and a Republican and ran for governor in New Jersey, both. I think he ran as a Democrat and a Republican, both. So he changed over. And he was a friend of President Woodrow Wilson, who came to see us, and I remember he came to lunch, and when I was seven, I must have been younger than that, because Father died on my 7th birthday. But he was such a nice man, and I'd been told I had to curtsy and shake hands and say, "How do you do, Mr. President?" And I practiced that for a long time, and then the family were all drawn up on the porch when he came, and I rushed up and said, "How do you do, Mr. President? Come and see my doll," and took him upstairs, and that upset the whole thing because everybody was waiting to take him into lunch or to take him into something, I don't know, but he was so sweet. And he came upstairs, and there was a friend of my mother's, a woman who was visiting us, and she was sitting upstairs sewing. She had no, she wasn't coming down to meet him or anything because she was just there. And she, you know, I burst in and said, "Oh, Aunt so-and-so, here's Mr. President Wilson." And so she was introduced to him. And he was awfully dear. He really was. And he backed my father up, and there were several things in the politics and things that people had been out to sort of get my father about things. And the president came to lunch to really to back him up and to show that he was all for him. And he was a nice man.
That was quite interesting. Can you tell us about some of the things you did to help your husband in politics with the campaigns and things, since he wasn't independent?
What things I did to help? Well, the only thing, I've always been interested in volunteer work, and I've always worked for the, well, I've worked for, I don't know if you've ever heard of the American Women's Voluntary Services. That was a wartime women's organization that my mother-in-law organized and was head of, and eventually they had over 350,000 members, and we all wore uniforms and we dashed around and we did quite a lot of good. It did very much the same thing that the Red Cross does. So afterwards, I was always great friends with the Red Cross people here, who were wonderful, Mrs. Gross and Mrs. Dorrance, and the Red Cross was well established here, but they let us come in, and we had a meeting at Monmouth Farm, a 2-day meeting, 125 people, which is awfully hard on the bathrooms, I may say, but it all went off very well, and they had very good speakers. Mrs. Roosevelt didn't come to that meeting, but she came to another meeting that my mother-in-law had in her country place in New York, and she was very interested in the American Women's Voluntary Services, and so was Madame Chiang Kai-shek, who was over here at that time. And they did a lot of good work. But the thing is, then afterwards, I was interested that afterwards, when the American Women's Voluntary Services, we let it go after the war, because it was doing, the Red Cross was doing very much the same thing and didn't need the two. And I worked for the Red Cross and have ever since. I love the Red Cross. And I was a gray lady at the Aberdeen Proving Ground a day a week for 11 years. And then I've done Meals on Wheels, which I love. I drove for Meals on Wheels for several years. I love that. And I love getting out and meeting people and doing things. I like people, period. I like people and animals. Very Some nice. Animals I like more than people.
Well, could you maybe tell us about some of your husband's activities while he was in the House of Delegates?
I can't think of them particularly. No, isn't that awful? Because you see, it's a golly day. It's that was how many years ago? Oh, I really and truly don't remember. I remember going down there quite often and meeting him for dinner, and then going to the evening sessions and coming back with him, Minneapolis. But I don't honestly remember. Well, let's see. Oh dear, what a shame. No, I don't remember.
Well, that's quite all right.
And then he did not go on with politics. We had the farm, and it was a big farm then, because it started with 412 acres over there, and then gradually we sold off, and it was a dairy, big dairy farm for a while, and then he, during the war, he was run over by a tank. It sounds very peculiar. His job was instructing tanks drivers at Fort Knox. He was in the armored service and armor, the tanks, and he instructed people. And there was one lieutenant who wasn't really a very good driver, and he went forward instead of reverse, and with a tank, I guess it's a little bit trickier. Anyway, he pushed my husband through a plyboard wall. If the wall had been solid, he would have been killed then and there. As it was, he was quite badly hurt, and he never was able to he couldn't drive a tractor again, and he couldn't walk even as far as the mailbox. Our driveway was about 3/4 of a mile at Monmouth, and he couldn't walk down to the mailbox, and he couldn't do the things that he used to do, so he rather lost interest in that. And then he, for quite a long time, he was a car salesman. He sold cars for both, what was that nice man? Norman Lee over here at Lee Buick. And then for Herb Hannah at Motor Sales in Bel Air. And he enjoyed that very much because he was a very good driver. That's why he was instructing in tanks at Fort Knox. And then he was made aide to the commanding general, and who was getting the tanks ready for General Patton, who would ask for them, and then the general would take Mac with him all around all these inspection tours, which were terribly interesting, all over the United States. And they would send the tanks to General Patton.
Or can you tell us about what it was like living on the farm, your Monmouth farm?
Well, it was lovely, except the cows used to get out and escape quite often, and we were always terrified that they'd run over or cause an accident or something awful. And they were always getting out. I don't know why, but they were. And so when we came up here, the first day we were here, I was sitting out on the porch, and somebody called out and said, "Mrs. McLean," and I said, "Yes." And they said, "Your cows are out." I said, "They're not. I don't have a single cow. They belong to either the Millers or the Garanos over here." And so that was a great, I was glad of that. Otherwise, I loved the farm life, and we had ponies to begin with then. We used to ride Welsh ponies, the two older boys and I used to ride. And then we had a pond, and there was lovely skating in winter. That was great fun. The thing, and I said, "Who are you going to vote for?" And someone said, "James McLean." And I said, "Oh, why are you going to vote for him?" And this man said, "Well, I just heard good things about him." And I said, "That's great. Well, you're absolutely right. And where do you want to go to? I'll take you home after you vote." So I did. But the wife of a partisan wasn't very long, as I remember, because I think that his term was up. I think he was filling out somebody else. Mayor Birkins had died, and he was filling out his term, which was only a short time. And who was it? Willie James, Senator James, was the other one. The two were down there together, and I know he liked Senator James very much indeed, and said very nice things about him afterwards, and I think they always got on very well. Well, now that answers my question. I didn't know. I still don't know quite what is this treasure that.
All right, let me just. There.
I think Crawford County is a wonderful county, and the people have been so friendly and kind, and I think that There are so many interesting people and all sorts of people, and they're all, I think they're all proud of Harford County and do a great deal of good. I really do.
Could you just maybe tell us about the different styles of music and fashion they had when you first came to Harford County in 1940?
The difference in music?
Our music and then the clothing.
Mac and I were crazy about jazz, and we had a marvelous record collection, which I think is around, but a lot of it, unfortunately, in the different moves that we made over the years, got lost or broken. But we were crazy about New Orleans, the original jazz, and the Benny Goodman and the the Gershwin, I really can't do very much about that, because I think everybody will either remember a great many of them were designed abroad, and people went over to and got French clothes and English clothes, but I think the American designers are splendid, awfully good. I think I used to go years ago to Bergdorf Goodman, and I thought they had beautiful things, and they had, of course, they had largely American designers there, and they've gone on and done beautiful work. Now let's see what else. I think you're a very good interviewer. Hope that went on the thing.
Oh, yes. Could you tell us more about your farming days, the type of crops you grew, or your livestock?
Well, we had Guernsey cows, and they gave quite a lot of milk. And there was a nice friend of Mr. Donald Symington, who had Indian Spring Farm, and we were amused because he had Guernseys, but he got rid of them and put in a whole herd of Jerseys because he said they were so pretty, and he got tired of the Guernsey faces weren't very pretty and the Jersey faces were so much prettier. And we went over to lunch with him. He took us up and down the barns, and we agreed that the Jersey faces were lovely. And we had Guernsey faces, but we did not change them. We did change a little bit. We put in some Holsteins, the black and white ones, because they gave more milk. But it's for the quantity, which you see everybody's after. You have to have quantity. We had very strict, we worked with the Maryland Virginia Milk Producers Association, and they are very strict. They had very strict and very good rules, and they were very good. And we didn't know, you see, we sort of came into this rather, we'd never done it before. My husband had been on the stock exchange in New York. He'd had a seat on the stock exchange and came straight out of that. We thought that New York was not a very good place to bring up our children, and we wanted to come to the country, but we didn't know what to do. And we went first and looked at apple orchards in Virginia, all sorts of places and things that would have been very not practical at all. And I saw an ad in Country Life magazine that said paying estate for sale, and I said to my husband, here's an ad that says paying estate. He said, oh, look it up and see what it is, we better look into that. And it was Monmouth Farm. We came down, it was quite funny because we came down, we stayed with my brother-in-law, Mac's brother, who had a place over at Moncton, And we were staying there, and I had an awful cold, and it was snowing, and Mac went over to look at the farm. And he came back, and I could tell that he liked it, but he didn't tell me much about it. He said, "Oh, dear." I said, "What was the house like?" He said, "The land was lovely, and grounds were lovely." And he said, "Oh, pink stucco with a red roof. I don't think you'd like it." Well, certainly probably wouldn't have been pink stucco with a red roof, but it wasn't, you see. So then he said, "Will you come and look at it?" So I went over with him, and we came to the outside of the house, and it was a snowy day. And it was this grey stone house with lots of ivy over it. Very pretty, and covered with snow anyway. And I took one look at it and burst into tears and said, "This is the place I want to stay the rest of my life. I don't care if I never go off the place again." And he said, "Well, you might get out of the car and come look at the inside." So I did. And then I said, "Oh, come quickly. We must go and call up the real estate people before it goes. We must buy it quickly." And so we went back and telephoned. I don't think anyone had been after it for a long time. But anyway, we got it right away. And we loved it. We really loved it. And he was the one that didn't want to go off the place. My mother lived in New York and wasn't very well, and I had to go up there a great deal. And he just didn't want to go at all. He wanted to stay there. He loved it.
Oh, you started to say something about the winter with sleighing or ice skating or something like that.
Oh, it was great fun. Well, we had a pond, you see, and we used to have, they'd have children come over and skate on the pond, and it was really very pretty, and then we'd have, I suppose we had bonfires and had hot dogs and things, and I don't know, it was great fun. And then finally, in the summer, we finally had a swimming pool. It was really lovely, and that was lots of fun. And a lot of people came, swam there, and enjoyed it. I loved having them. And when the grandchildren came, that was great fun for them. It was one of the early swimming pools, too.
My.
They're all over the place now, which is lovely. We haven't got one, and I wish we had. If we had one, I'd go in it. I don't know. I don't think we probably will. And you have to put a great fence around them and all that. All the spoils would spoil the view out there. Oh, I'm going to show you the view, which is very pretty out here.
Okay. Over the years that you have lived in Harford County, what are some of the changes that you've noticed? As in business or real estate or other aspects?
Oh, well, the development. And of course, I can't talk very much about that because some of the land that I've sold undoubtedly will be developed. And I succumbed to that too. I couldn't really afford to go on living there. But the development around that part is so much. I think it's too much around that part. In fact, I went over not about 6 months ago, or before I went to Maine, about 3 months ago. I just went for a drive one afternoon, and I got lost trying to find the part of Wheel Road where we lived, and Monmouth Farm and all that. I just got completely lost in that new cutout or whatever it is that comes through. Oh, it's all so different, and it just made the houses look different. That part is different. But up here, now, this part is not developed, and I don't think people will sell for development around here. I really don't.
Or how about the different types of transportation, such as the cars or the roads? What are some of the changes you've seen there?
Well, the cars, I think the cars are more attractive than they used to be, and I like the colors. They're rather conservative colors again. There was an awful time when they had yellow, oh dear, blue and white and red and white and all sorts of colored cars, which I thought were very unattractive. And I think the cars now and the sort of, they're rather compact. I don't like little cars. I find them very uncomfortable and hard to get in and out of, personally. But the some of the medium-sized cars I think, are very pleasant and very attractive, and the lines are good.
Or how about the roads? The new, I guess the new pavement they put on there. What was it like before they had paved roads, the type of transportation?
Well, they didn't. There were a lot of dirt roads around us, of course. And they're all gone. It's all paved. I mean, it's all hard roads now. But I suppose it's much better to drive on. It is much better to drive on. And more comfortable. I think the road system's very good. I think the drivers are a little bit frightening.
In business, what type of changes have you seen as a new industries coming or going, like such as the cannery and different things like that?
Like the what?
I like the canning industry. Changes like that.
The
canning industry.
The canning?
Yes, the canning houses.
Oh, I don't know much about that, to tell you the truth. I don't know. Is this on?
Oh, yes.
Oh, dear. I don't know much about that, and I don't know much about new industries. One thing I think that is simply splendid is the community college. The Harford Community College, I think, is splendid. I went there and took a course in the history of art 2 or 3 years ago. I was undoubtedly the oldest living member of the, and I had an ID card, and I was so proud of it, and I just loved it. And there's a mom, Dr. Eccles, who teaches that class, is a wonderful, wonderful teacher. And I think that whole college is very good and has done a great deal of good. And the community colleges, those are new in my town, and I think they're wonderful.
Well, are there any other stories or experiences you might have had throughout your time in the county, or changes you've seen in the farming, like new equipment, or different things like that?
No, I don't know, because you see, we stopped farming a long, long time ago, and undoubtedly the changes, there are loads and loads of changes. In fact, I know the milk parlor, you see, is a new thing since my time. I know that my partner, after my husband died, Mr. and Mrs. Vaughan, Dale Vaughan, were partners with me. And we all ran the farm, and they have a farm in Pennsylvania, I think it is, with lovely milk parlor and that sort of thing, and they don't need to have all the acreage that we had. We not only had quite a big acreage, the 400 acres, we had to rent. I remember renting a pasture down the road, the Emerton Road, no longer any pasture to rent there. It was near Tommy Brooks' place. We rented some every year the milk parlors and the new way of farming, they don't need all that space anymore. Mm-hmm. And of course, well, we did have milkers, all that electric milkers and that sort of thing that we had in our town. I'll think of all sorts of fascinating things that I forgot to tell you. Of course, I'll wake up in the night and think about them. If I think of any really good ones, I'll let you know, and then you can write them down. But I don't think I probably will.
Or is there anything else you might like to add?
No, I think it's a great honor to be interviewed under the circumstances, and probably totally undeserved. And I'm delighted I should have given it perhaps a little more thought. And as I say, if I think of anything to add to it, if you wouldn't mind, or you think it'd be worthwhile, I'd let you know. But thank you very much for interviewing me. And
oh, you're quite welcome.
I've enjoyed it.
I think that's